This podcast is a member of the Place to Be Nation family. Visit us at placetobenation.com, the only place to be in your pop culture world.
Once upon a time, two men decided if they were making the cut. Then they made the cut. And now JT and Aaron are talking everything from wrestling to pop culture and beyond. Because it's no holds barred.
Hi, Place to Be Nation. Welcome to episode number 7 of No Holds Barred, the podcast. One and only experience, hosted by myself, JT, and my boy from the north, who's suffering through a hurricane right now, Aaron George. Aaron, how are you?
I am so awake.
Yeah. Who needs sleep?
Who needs it, right? I mean, like, we might die, so you want to die awake. I don't want to die in my sleep, peacefully.
No.
I hope you don't want that for me.
No, I want your house to get split apart and you to get pulled up to the rapture.
That'd be awesome.
Yes.
Now, listen, if there was a rapture, would you want to be pulled away from your family, or would your would you rather your family be pulled into the rapture paradise?
Is the Blondie song playing?
Obviously.
Okay. So she's there rapping.
Isn't that what Jesus is planning his return to?
Rapture. I mean, if it's like, yeah, if they're going to heaven, I'd prefer it to be them and me just stuck here with Jay Hinchy watching wrestling.
You don't think Jay Hinchy's going to heaven?
Of course he is. He's an innocent man.
Yeah, he's probably going to heaven.
Yeah. His attackers are not.
No. They're going to hell.
Yes.
Who else is going to heaven? Schmuck? Is Schmuck going to heaven?
No.
He's going to hell. He's going to burn, right?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Deep.
The Lord doesn't appreciate cheaters.
Sinners,
right?
Yeah, I don't know. I could see Greg Phillips going to heaven.
You know what? But Nick Duke stays, right?
Oh, absolutely.
There's no more hard traveling fanboys in heaven.
No. Just the one travels up.
And one lags behind. Todd Weber, heaven? Todd Weber is going to heaven.
I don't know. I don't know if I'm signing off on that. You know who's going to heaven? This is the last one I'm going to say, and then we're going to get started before people turn this off. Logan Crossland. He's a nice man. He's going to heaven.
I don't know anything about Logan Crossland. I'm sure
he's that's good. Right? It's like in baseball or in whatever sport. If you don't notice the officials, that means they've done a good job, right?
And that's how you feel about Logan.
You know, like, you know, if you don't notice him, that means he's done a nice job in the chats. He's not standing out to you as someone that should be sent to hell.
Okay, well, I got one more hell, and that's Dave Hall.
Yeah.
I mean, you can't watch Saturday Night's Main Event from February 92 and hate it.
That's a great plug and a segue. Check out the newest Doty Network Excellent Adventure. By the way, it's like Saved by the Bell, the new class. Like, and I love it. You know, because we had the old adventure, and then Bayless, he's like Screech, who like stayed.
He stuck around.
And then you guys are all the new class.
Yeah.
You know, it's pretty cool. I like it. And you guys
are
doing great.
Screech. We like Screech. He's all right.
Screech is nice. And you guys are doing a great job. I appreciate it.
Yeah, it's fun. It's been a fun adventure so far. Yeah,
and I like that we've mixed it up now. We're not just doing the chronological thing.
No, I wouldn't do it.
It was tough. The chronological was tough. Not going to lie.
Well, because they keep adding shit too, right?
That got OCD overload. When we first started it, they hadn't been. And then they started trickling it in. And it'd be like one thing here and there. And like, oh, we're going to go back to fucking 1977 now.
You have to finish it all too, right?
Like, oh yeah, and then it was just like we did all the TNTs, you know. It's like, ugh, like it was just a lot, and I didn't mind like the world classes because that was episodic and fun. But it just I wanted some variance, you know. Just and then we got through the TNTs, and then we decided to stop. We have to get through all the TNTs. It's like the worst possible time to choose.
Yeah, we're at a kind of a grind on picking things.
Right. I mean, I can just start picking things if you want.
No, I don't want you to. I want it to be participatory. Okay. But, like, it's always open. Like, the last one was like, all right, who wants to pick something? And then after a couple of
days, everyone's afraid to be the person to pick it, you know?
I know. And I'm like, fuck it, we're doing Sid. Because like, if I'm picking it, we're doing Sid. Every time. That's a threat group.
Anyway, it's a fun article every 2 weeks. check it out. It's an easy read, breezy read, and it's funny. So I enjoy it. All right. So we're going to hijack the show, Aaron, for a while.
Shockass!
The first segment of our show since we started it has always been centered around the GWE Tag Teams project at PlaceMedation.com and on Facebook in our group. And we both were talking earlier, and I personally was kind of having a struggle putting this thing together, and I would like your help. And I wanted to talk it through. And I said, why don't we work together and do a joint no-holds-barred ballot for this project? And what we're going to do is we're going to build our top 100 consensus list, me and you, together. And that's going to be the show. That's it, until we're done. So we're going to – first of all, what are your thoughts on that? Are you okay with that?
I guess.
Okay.
I mean,
glad you're on board.
We came up with the idea and are going with it, so I better be. no, but it's good. And why I don't mind it, too, is because when we looked at our combined GWWE list for the singles wrestlers, I think our top 20 was exactly the same.
Right, yeah. I mean, you had some nonsense later, but
– Yeah, I mean, you made some mistakes. Mm-hmm. We all know that. But so that's why I'm comfortable with this, because we're pretty much of one mind on most things, except for the heaven and hell stuff, which was strange.
Yeah. Well, once you threw Dave Hall out there, I got it. You know, I think I brought
it. Yeah, you're right. You're right. Yeah, it makes sense.
All right. So what I wanted to do to start this is I thought we'd take the list of nominees, which has grown today because there were some teams that had gotten nominated. I mean, I just lost track of the votes. I'm a busy guy. There were votes rolling in all over the place on that page. So I said, you know what? Anyone that got nominated at any level, no matter how many votes they had, is now eligible. So this list is massive. But I thought we could start working through it, and initially to start working on this list, I thought we'd do some bucketing. So I made four buckets for us. Mr. Buckets, buckets of fun. Top 50, bottom 50, fringe, and then, like, no.
I think we need to add one more bucket.
Okay.
Which is research.
Okay, let's do that. You're doing it?
I'm doing it. Just because, like, there will be some – I know going through it, there are some teams that I was like, oh, I got to put more time into this one.
Right. Agreed. Okay.
I need to watch one match of them at least.
Right. So, I mean, it's going to be, like, real research. Like, the Rougeaus, maybe you want to watch more, but we're not putting them in the research bucket. The research teams that we literally know, like, nothing about.
Yeah.
Okay.
Anything right. with Billy White Wolf, I'm going to probably have trouble with.
All right, so we'll do that then. We'll bucket that way, and that'll be our first kind of hack. And then, you know, the no teams will be blah. And the ones we'll discuss are probably the ones that we're disagreeing on.
Sure.
Okay.
Sure.
All right, so we're going to go alphabetically through this list. That's a lot. So
strap in, guys.
We'll see. Strap on. We'll see how far we can go tonight, and then we'll just pick it up next time. All right, number one, Air Boom. That's Kofi and Evan Bourne. So not top 50, obviously. I would say I'm putting them in consideration. Bottom 50 or fringe, I don't care. What's your call on them?
I think they might have a shot at top 50.
Oh, top 50.
Yeah, I think it would be like at the latter end of top 50.
Right.
But I don't think it's impossible. So I think we should probably just err in the middle and put them bottom 50.
Okay, let's do it.
Reason
put them right
being,
at the fringe by accident. Okay, there they are.
Yeah, just because for them, they carried a division for a good amount, like a good 6 months. And I don't know if you've watched 2011 lately, but almost all their matches are pretty good, like pay per view matches.
Yeah,
anyway,
I believe it. No, I have not watched 2011 lately, and we have actually in our group watch group, we've actually bandied around. Wasn't that the year we talked about maybe doing when we finish our SummerSlams?
Oh, like doing the whole year.
Well, remember, because that's our new – oh, you haven't really been in there. We could talk
about
it.
No, I'm hovering. I'm hovering.
Okay, we'll talk about it after. All right. Next, then. Okay. AJ Lee and Paige. Despite the game of a lesbian chicken they played for most of 2 years or whatever it was, I don't think they have enough work together, right? I mean, they get the Mania match and not much beyond that, right?
Yeah, and even then, the Mania match for me is not that good. Right. I just watched it, actually.
Okay.
And I think I had it at 2.75.
Okay. All right.
So maybe 2.5, actually, even.
All right.
So for me, that's one match at that off the list.
Sorry
Stacey. Yep. See? One mind.
Two girls, one mind. All right. So next up, we have Al Snow and Too Cold Scorpio, the Job Squad. I'm gonna jump up and say no. I like the Job Squad gimmick. I like Scorpio a lot. knowing the time frame where they would have tagged late 98 into early 99, I am imagining there's not much meat on that bone at all to discuss.
No, I don't. I don't. And to be honest, I don't feel like discussing them.
I don't think there's much to discuss. I mean, I think maybe they had one pay-per-view match together. Maybe. I don't even know if they even had that.
It'd be in 98.
Right.
It would for sure be in 98.
I mean, sure, I could tell some stuff on Raw.
Yeah, but you know, this, like,
but it's not worth talking about. You're right.
The thought of going back and watching all the Raw matches, like, it makes me want to kill myself.
Well, me and Chad are going to do it, but that probably won't be for another 6 years when we get to 98. So
yeah, but you're also doing like kind of one thing at a time like a specific podcast, right? Like, right.
Oh yeah, going to watch all of the their matches. Now I'm all set in a row. All right.
Yeah.
All right, next is an interesting one because I do think there's a discussion here, and that's Alexa Bliss and Braun Strowman, Team Little Big, or Big Little. Which one was it?
Little Big?
I think it was Little Big.
Yeah.
From the Mae Young. For the Mixed Match Challenge last year. Now, they were supposed to be back this year, but Alexa's hurt, so they had to replace her, and she got pulled from it, unfortunately. They were fun. They were a riot. I saw some of the matches, and they kind of capture the imaginations of many on social media. I'm willing to put them either on Fringe or Research. I don't think they're a hard no for me.
I'd put them in Research because I don't recall seeing any of them.
I don't know if those matches are archived anywhere. That's the problem.
It must be on the network.
No?
Or was it on Facebook?
Those aired on Facebook. I don't know if they ever put them on the network, too. They may be on. Maybe they put them on after. There's a chance they did.
Maybe.
They had to have, because I doubt everyone watched that live.
It seems silly if it's not.
Right.
Right? Like, they put everything up there.
All right, let's put them in Research. I'm okay with that.
Oh, it's on there. It's on there.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I mean, they can't be more than three or four matches they had.
No. I mean, we'll see how fun they are as a team. And
I think of all the teams in that thing, they were the one to discuss.
I really like the idea of Miz and Asuka.
Yeah, they were good, too.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
Just FYI, the Snow and Scorpio fought too much at Breakdown 98.
Okay.
And I had their match at 2.5 stars.
Very good. So they're putting it at the bottom 50 now is what you're saying?
No, yes, absolutely. Okay. Top 50.
Alexa Bliss and Mickie James. Probably a no for me.
It's a no for me.
Okay. I don't think of anything they've done that really stands out.
It's a no for me, dog.
All right, here's our first real interesting one. American Alpha.
Yeah, okay. So, I mean, how up are you on the NXT?
I've seen, like, their big matches, like, from takeovers.
Right.
The weekly, I can't really speak to.
Yeah. I think they probably have a shot at top 50 for me.
Okay. I would have said they were, like, trending top 50 until they hit the main roster and broke up.
But they still had some good stuff on the main roster before they broke up. Nothing groundbreaking like in NXT, but...
All right. I can see the top 50 then, argument.
Yeah.
Perhaps.
I mean, I have them with... I mean, I'm going off the top of my head, but I have them with at least 2 4-star matches.
Okay.
Which for tag teams is a lot, right?
Yeah. I guess I'm just going to see who else we put in there. So for now, let's leave them there. I think we can bump them as we go. Is that fair?
Yeah. Yeah, okay. Absolutely.
All right. This one I haven't seen too much of, but I do know, I think they were fairly well regarded in some of the comments. Andre the Giant, Chief J. Strongbow?
Research for me.
Okay. Yeah, me too. We need to do this. We need to have like a special episode where one of the dudes from Kayfabe Memories comes on and just like talks about these teams with us that we need research on.
Well, we should do one where we watch a couple, maybe.
Yeah, okay. Let's do that.
Yeah. How do you feel? How do you think Andre felt teaming with the Chief?
He probably was not even aware who he was. That's my guess.
No, he probably hated him. He probably just hated him.
All right, how about Animal and Heidenreich? They were champions.
No.
Okay.
No. What were you? You got a... an opinion on that?
No, I mean, they had like a couple of decent matches. Like I didn't mind the stuff with Eminem, but they didn't have much beyond that.
I just, every time I saw them, I felt sad.
Yeah.
Like, I don't watch wrestling to feel sad. Do you?
No, I mean, I don't know. For some reason, the legacy thing never bothered me with that one.
No, it's just more like that. Like, these two are like making so much more money than I am.
Oh, well, yeah.
Or maybe not then. Maybe not. They may have
been.
I don't
know. I'd have wrecked my
yeah.
habit then.
Yeah.
All right. APA.
APA. Oh.
Bottom 50?
Yeah. Trending towards top, probably.
Yeah, I mean, they're easily on the list.
Yeah, like, okay, so, like, I'll give a bit of a... Yeah, I would say, like, probably between 40 and 60. So let's go bottom for now and
yeah.
see.
I mean, I can't imagine they have many big, great matches, right?
I can't think of one. But they were great characters.
Great characters, great. And they were great at one specific thing, and that was brawling and beatdowns.
Beating the shit out of people. And when they fought guys like the Hardys, they looked awesome.
Right. And, I mean, some of those segments of Raw where they were just destroying guys were like the highlights of those weeks, you know, or a highlight of the show. And they stood yeah. out in a loaded show. So, like, to me, that speaks to something because they were, you know, it's almost like if you want to equate it to baseball again, like with the tools. So, to me, you know, if you excel in one area, it's probably good enough in a tag team list to get you on there. So, are you
sure.
great characters? Are you great in ring? Are you great sellers? Were you great brawl? You know, so like, what do you excel at? And they hit, you know, they excelled at being characters, memorable characters, and excelled at the brawling and what, you know, what they were meant to be was just bullies that beat the shit out of guys, and that's what they were.
Okay, I have two thoughts on them. Number one, they did play two very different characters too,
mm-hmm.
which I think a lot of teams don't have. And number two, I don't think I would have ever thought this before, but I think that like if you had a better person on that team than Farouk, this team's probably much higher. Because I think Bradshaw is actually quite a good tag team wrestler.
Yeah. Yeah, but Farouk, I guess it would have been who? Like, I don't think just anyone.
No, like a lighter guy. Like, if you had, like, the
know,
dynamic.
Though.
I just think that Bradshaw's really good at that hot tag and the power stuff.
Yeah, so, Farouk did a lot of selling, which he was good at. I liked it because he was, like, the veteran of the team. Like, I think it was a good mix. Like, you had the veteran brawler. And, you know, you had Bradshaw who was out there just kind of learning and being the young dick, and Farouk kind of kept him guided. Plus, Farouk was the one throwing those freaking hellacious spine busters that just were
yes.
always the capper to the brawls. And I don't think anyone else has given you that.
So. And he stopped doing the no please, too. So
yes, of course. That was the big turnaround. And he lost the ass. He really slimmed that ass down, so that was good.
Yeah, I wish he would have kept the helmet, though. The helmet really would have brought everything together on that team.
Oh, please. No,
no please, please.
All right. Oh,
who stands like that?
Nobody. It's so stupid. Okay, Authors of Pain. Probably no, right?
No, probably bottom 50.
Oh, okay.
I think so because, again, like you got to look – maybe for you – maybe put them fringe for you because like if you watch their NXT stuff, like they're great. Like they're yeah. very good in NXT and they're really good in that in the War Games match.
Mm-hmm.
So
I'm going to go fringe for now.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think it's a hard no, like, for
okay,
sure.
No, I'm okay
and
with that.
And, again, like, where are they? Are they still, like, now, they just came back, right, with Drake Maverick?
Yeah, they've been back, like, the last, like, 3 weeks or so. He's managing them. It seems like they're bringing some 205 Live guys over, like, they're almost creating 205 Live, and which I like. It's like its own universe.
Right.
And then these guys exist outside the universe in different roles. Like Leo Rush is now Bobby Lashley's mouthpiece.
Right.
And Drake Maverick.
Is he his son?
No, it doesn't have to be related. And then Drake Maverick is, yeah, just kind of like a douchey little smarmy manager with Authors of Pain. So it's like kind of cool. Like I'm starting to dig this, keeping the Cruiserweight matches to 205 Live and the pay-per-view and then having those guys get extra work by doing different stuff on
right.
Like, I think it's kind of neat.
Yeah, I like that, too. Yeah. I like that, too. And I'm glad they're back on TV because they brought them up and then did nothing with like, right. like, it's not like some of the other teams they bring up and at least they do – like, they don't do anything good with them, but at least they're on TV.
Right.
Like, these guys just vanished.
Well, yeah. It seems like now they'll start to get a run-up. So it wouldn't shock me if they do something where they – you know, maybe the Shield wins it back from Drew and Dolph, and then the Authors of Pain like crush them or something, you know, in a match, something like that.
Yeah.
All right. Awesome Truth.
Look, if this was a list of best raps, they'd be number one. Like,
I feel like they're fringe for me. Like,
yeah, they're not no, but they're fringe
yeah.
because
I mean they had a big match.
They're one of those ones that I and they have that memorable angle, right, yeah, where they come into – but they're one of those ones that I feel will get bumped out.
Yeah, probably.
Like, it won't be like, oh, no. It'll be like, oh, I just can't put them above this guy.
Right. I could see that. Because their biggest match was, what, Rock and Cena, right?
Yeah. And then – well, they also – it's their fault also the buy rate didn't do well. So
obviously, correct.
If you remember that nonsense.
Yeah, and then their big moment, you're right, was when they came in the cell and beat the shit out of everyone.
Yeah, but I like them as a team, as like mm-hmm. the two kind of misfits and the conspiracy angle. And I like Miz was still feeling a little bit of that main event rub.
Yep.
Like that was like earlier in the year. And then Truth had that main event run too. So they felt like just they just felt a little bit more legit.
Mm-hmm.
I like them.
Okay. Do you also like
Truth?
Do you also like Bam Bam Bigelow and Tatanka?
No. I mean, they're okay, but I don't see them. I can't see them making the list.
Yeah, I wish they had more together. All they really have is the back-to-back matches with Kid and Holly, and then one of the Rumbles really good.
Yeah,
like I'm almost willing to put them fringe just because of that.
But, I mean, what would you have it at?
Hang on, I can check real quick.
Because for me, like, if you're gonna put someone fringe based on kind of one match, mm-hmm. well, it better be a great match.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like a great match on this tag list gets you in. Because you're saying, you know, team's got 4 stars, you know, they're probably
yeah. Well, that's what I mean. Like, it better be a great. Like, it has to be great.
Okay, let's see. I think I probably had it close to that. I had 3.5. I'm curious. Scott and I don't do quarters, so I don't know if it would have been like 3.75. You know what I mean? I'm not sure where on that half scale it was.
That's 95, right?
Mm-hmm. Rumble 95. And then they fight again the next night on Raw. Let me see if I have that. That one here.
I have it at 2.75, the Rumble one.
Oh, wow. Really?
Yeah.
What a jerk you are.
And then something must have not clicked for it.
And you know what? They didn't fight again at Raw. It was the Guns fought Kid and Holly back to back.
Yeah, I mean, look, if you want to put them on Fringe for now, I'm fine with it. Like,
I mean, and plus you get the LT stuff on the back end of it.
Yeah, Bam Bam and Tatanka don't belong on the list. Change my mind.
Okay. Baron Sekluna and King Curtis Iaukea.
Research.
Well, should we be bringing up, or I guess we can do this as part of our research, as they should be looking at some of the comments right now, like on the Facebook page?
Probably, but if we do that now, we'll be here all night. So maybe we'll do that later.
Right. Maybe once we get through this initial cut, maybe we do the research part next.
Yeah, and when we do the research, then we can read some of the comments too and kind of get everyone participating.
Okay. All right, the U.S. Express, Barry Windham and Mike Rotundo.
What's your first instinct on it?
Top 50.
Top, eh? I think I have them bottom 50.
Okay.
But I'm comfortable putting them in the top 50 for now and knocking them out.
Yeah.
Because my initial run through with them, I think I actually put them quite low, lower than they should have been.
Yeah, I know they had some good stuff with Murdoch and Adonis.
Yeah.
And then obviously this, you know, they carried Sheik and Volkov to some good matches, the Dream Team match. Plus, I mean, they were really, really fucking over. They were like kind of the first big team of the rock and roll era.
Right. Yeah, and probably is that both of their best work in the WWF in terms of work rate? It must be, eh?
Yeah, I mean, unless you're a big IRS guy, fucking Parv or whatever.
Who is? Parviz?
Yeah, he loves them. It's definitely Windham's by far. I mean, he didn't do anything as Widowmaker or Stalker. So, I mean, I guess you could argue maybe Rotundo had a couple of things as IRS, but... yes, I would argue that that's probably their best work.
I had to have my dad explain to me what a widow was when he debuted, and I knew he was not happy about having to explain it to me.
Okay. The Basham Brothers. Fringe for me.
I say no.
Okay.
Like, I know they were champions for a while, but looking back at their stuff, I can't think of a match that I really liked.
Yeah, all right, fine. I'm okay with that. The odds of them making it. I feel like that's going to be a dark period.
Yeah, but I'm sorry. I've watched actually a lot of it on the pay-per-views, so like the big guys kind of stand out a bit more. Now, I know we'll probably get the like, well, the best TV worker was such, and I'll be a bit lost on that, but I don't care about the TV workers.
Okay. You should.
I'll watch them. Okay, people, if you're upset, I will watch them and
no,
see.
No, I can't imagine as much there. All right, here's one, though. It's an interesting one. Batista and Rey Mysterio.
Ooh. I mean, for me, it's probably Fringe.
Yeah.
But I want them on the list.
No, me too. I mean, because they teamed twice, right? They teamed like in 05, and then again right before they split, and they have the awesome breakup angle.
Yeah. Why is Batista so mad at this guy that's clearly so much smaller than him?
Very angry at him.
Yeah.
He's about to be my friend.
He's got his head in his hands. Like, he could have just crushed his head.
All right, Bayley and Sasha Banks. I feel like they're actually gaining a little steam. They've solidified as a team. They've kind of gotten through the tease of the breakup. They're doing the hug and boss connection thing. You know, the match output's better.
They might be one of the female, because look, female teams are, you're kind of, there's a lot of slim pickings here for me. I find with the female teams. Like, I was much more open to giving a lot of females spots on the GWE 100 because there's, like, a legitimately a lot of great women's wrestling. But women's tag wrestling is just something they'd never focus on ever, right? Maybe now if they introduce the tag titles, we'll see a little bit more. But I think they might be the team that has the most chance of doing it.
Yeah, I'm like, willing to put them Fringe for now.
Fringe?
Yeah. Or do you think Research? Where do you want to put them?
I put them on Fringe.
Yeah, okay.
Because I might have a bit of Research involved, but it's not the same as the other guys.
Right.
And when the moment where Bayley came up and fought Charlotte and Natalya with Sasha Banks was a fantastic moment.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
that's right. Yeah. There's that stuff too, right? When she first arrived.
Yeah. Well, she was only there for the one match,
right?
And then she went back down.
I feel like we need a Stacy list too, because for our next team is Beth Phoenix and Natalya. So we need like a Research and then a Stacy Research where she just teaches us of these. Because I feel like there may be something here, but I have no fucking clue off the top of my head what they did as a team.
Yeah. Well, I don't know how much they actually teamed. This will be a Stacy question.
All right.
They always came down to the ring together. They felt like a team in that, like, they supported one another, but I don't know how much tag team work they have. Like, I remember her always being there when Beth was defending the title or trying to win the title from Kelly Kelly or any time in that period. So that's more the question I'd have for Stacy.
Right. All right. I'm okay putting them as Research.
Yeah, put them as Research.
Okay. I don't want to rule them out because I do like Beth. All right.
I love Beth. Beth is like was such a breath of fresh air to that division.
All right, the Beverly Brothers. Iconic theme. Is that one of the tools?
I wish it was a tool.
Sadly, no.
Yeah, and like, but like, just probably.
Mm. Yeah, I just don't think. I mean, they don't really have a big match. Their biggest shot they got was against the fucking Natural Disasters.
And it's one of my most hated matches.
And then beyond that, I mean, they're at like Survivor Series. They have the thing on Raw where they fought Money Inc.
They get destroyed.
Oh, they have a Steiners match. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, that's great. Well, that's just great because the Steiners don't care about their safety at all. But
yeah, but that's a big part. They get the shit kicked out of them. I think on Raw, too, they have a rematch and they beat the, or maybe it's him, it's Blake as like the executioner or some shit. He just gets fucking murdered.
They get destroyed by Jim Duggan and Sergeant Slaughter on the Saturday Night's main event we talked about earlier in like a 2-minute match.
They also have that. I think what offsets the Steiners match is probably that awful fucking match with the Bushwhackers at Rumble 92.
Oh god, it's so bad and so long.
Okay, they gotta go now. Sorry, yeah, I love them. Sorry. I do love them. But they didn't even have like a memorable angle. The only thing they had was when they did the Legion of Pansies or whatever the fuck they did with the LED or that summer.
Did that actually lead to anything, though? Just them getting crushed,
I think it was
on house shows?
Yeah, just house show feud and like Coliseum video.
Yeah.
It seemed like the SummerSlam thing is the big like question mark there because all summer they built toward LOD Beverly's and Disasters Money Inc. And like I never got why they split them up. Going into SummerSlam, like, why not just have LOD Beverly's pay off and then Money Disasters pay off? Like, it was weird the way
Disasters
win the titles. Well, they had them win the titles on a house show. Like, why not just have the Disasters win at SummerSlam?
Yeah, I guess.
It was odd.
They don't want to give anything to the British. They hate them.
That's true. So do I. All right. Billy and Chuck.
Yeah, they're maybe – I got them probably hovering top 50 almost.
Okay. So you want them in the top 50 or the bottom 50?
I don't know. What do you think?
Oh, I mean, they're really good characters. They're kind of, you know, stabilize the division post the big teams, right? They're kind of the ones that took the mantle after the Hardys, Dudleys, and Edge and Christian faded.
Yeah.
Just again, though, like, where's the big match from them?
They don't have. No. But we're going to get to that. We're going to get to a point where, like, there's no big match here.
I'm putting
them
bottom 50. I don't think they'll be top 50. Their biggest match may be Hogan and Edge.
You know, yeah. You know what it is? It's probably going to come down to, are you going to want to put them ahead of, like, the super teams?
Right.
Because they're a consistent team.
Right.
Because the super teams are the ones, even in what we've talked about before, they've hovered around top 50.
Right.
So, like, for instance, like, you want to put Billy and Chuck ahead of the Mega Powers, like, kind of thing. That'll be kind of a debate, and it's kind of an interesting comparison. Like, one is a team that was on TV and carried a lot of stuff, and one was very few matches but important angles.
Right. Okay. Well, we'll see as we go. Billy Graham and Ivan Koloff. Research. I mean, we're going to get exposed here. Is this not knowing much about 60s and stuff? I mean, we
it's
just
fine.
Don't.
Look, we're like the same age.
Right. We're willing we're to look mind. Into it, though.
Yeah, of course. And to be honest, doing GWWE, the singles, one of my favorite parts of it was actually going back and watching as much old stuff as I could. Right. Now, for that project, I skipped over all the tag stuff. I kind of wish I hadn't now. But we have limited time.
Right, we do. All right. Big Boss Man and Bull Buchanan. That should be a big fat no, yes. The one big match that was awful.
Fuck you.
All right, here's a good one that I do think is probably in around that mid-range, and that is Big John Studd and King Kong Bundy.
Yeah, probably.
Bottom 50.
Bottom 50, probably leaning closer to the hundreds, but yeah. Because they were like – they were such a – like when I was getting – I got into wrestling when I was around 7, so around 87, 88. And like every Coliseum video I rented had them as a team against someone I cared about.
Right.
So like for me, they're like – they're the first killer team I can remember.
Oh, yeah. They had a lot of big stuff. I mean, then they had the – was it the Halloween Saturday's main event where they go against Hogan and Andre? Like that's like a huge match.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. So for me, they have a lot of sentimental stuff. Like, they might get bumped off, but I definitely want to give them props.
Right. Oh, for sure. They deserve to be there. All right. Blake and Murphy.
I'm gonna say fringe.
Okay, yeah.
Like, and they might sneak on. Like, because for me, like, I think tag team wrestling right now in WWE is a lot better than it used to be. Like a lot better than say like it's now it's better than it was say like 6-7 years ago. And I think it started in NXT and it started with like Blake and Murphy, the Lucha Dragons, the Vaudevillains. Right. Now they weren't having five-star matches. Like I think some other teams would go on to have, but they were having very good matches and they were given time. And so like with Blake and Murphy, you get like almost a year of very good, bordering on great matches. They get the character stuff with Alexa Bliss later too when she joins them. So I think there's something there. Now their music will give you a fucking seizure, right? Whenever they come out, it's completely unnecessary. But I'd like to give them some consideration, and I hope they can make it. Like they don't get any credit, and.
I'm curious if we had done GWWE singles this year, if Buddy Murphy would have snuck in anywhere, because he's been on fire all year.
Yeah, someone would have voted for him.
Yeah. All right, Bob Holly and the 1-2-3 Kid.
Tag champs, so that's kind of important.
So they got that same Bigelow match.
Yeah.
Guns match the next night, which I believe – let me just pull up my spreadsheet on my grades. I believe that was a good one. The next week was disappointing. They fought 2 weeks in a row.
Right.
And then I'm not sure what else they have as a team beyond that. Like how much other times they teamed up.
Yeah. I mean, you can decide. I would probably say no, but if you want to put them fringe, we can kind of put them in the mix.
All right. So I have the Raw match at 3. And then the rematch at a star and a half, which was wicked disappointing.
Right.
So it depends if a 3 and a 3.5 star match, one on pay-per-view where they win the tag titles. And it's a pretty big moment.
Yeah, and I have that match at 2 3/4.
So I got them against the Heavenly Bodies at 1.5. Then the two guns matches, that's all I have them. They're part of a 6-man with Brett against Yoko, Hakushi, and Owen. I went 2.5.
You went 2.5 on that? That yep. sounds like it would be amazing.
And then they fight again, just them against Owen and Yoko, 2.5. But those are, I mean, 95 Raw matches clocking in at 2.5 and 3.5. Like, those aren't bad. I mean, that's, you know, I think there's something to be said for that. Like,
yeah, I might actually have those a bit higher. I haven't rated them, but, like, I know I tend to rate those shorter ones. Like, if something's good, I'll rate it 3 stars, kind of regardless of length, right?
I'm going to put them on the fringe.
Okay, put them on the fringe.
I mean, I think for 95, they're having some pretty good matches. You know what I mean? Like as someone who has relived 95 Raw, like, you know, 2.5, 3 stars is welcome. So,
right.
All right. Here's a no. We can probably move on quickly. As much as I love my Russians, the Bolsheviks.
Oh, no. Yeah, it's a no.
Their best famous match is getting squashed in 20 seconds at WrestleMania 6. But I will say, their July 88 MSG against the Powers of Pain is a hella fun squash. The crowd is just fucking insane as the Powers of Pain destroy them. Then they fought at WrestleFest and SummerSlam, and those both sucked. But the one at MSG in July was, like, so much fun. You should watch it. It's only, like, 3 minutes, but the Powers of Pain just decapitate them, and the crowd is just insane for it.
I used to think they were so legit because the first Saturday Night's main event I ever watched was them against, I believe, the Young Stallions. Mm-hmm. I think they won, and I remember thinking, wow, this team looks amazing.
Right.
But that was my 7-year-old self, though.
All right, Booker T and Test.
I'm going to say no.
Yeah, I mean, what are they really? And again, champions, right? At one point.
Yeah, but not interesting champions in any way. Like Holly and Kid are way more interesting champions.
Right.
Like they. Yeah, I don't
remember what was their one match. I know they had a pay per view match, but do you have it marked down?
I can look it up. It was in 01, obviously. But yeah, like if you're gonna be the champions and have one or two matches, then I'm gonna hope that.
Right. They're good. Yeah, they're good. Yeah.
Yeah, or at least the moment is good. Like I can see the argument that that moment with LT helps mm-hmm. sell it and helps get them on the list, right?
By the way, I'm going to shit in dreams just like I've been doing for Jordan Nutkin for years. Bolsheviks did not fight the Young Stallions on a Saturday night event.
Ah, shit, who was it?
Strike Force. And Strike Force won.
That's it. Oh, shit. All right, yeah. Well. I know nothing. I actually don't even have them on pay-per-view, Test and Booker T. So did they win the tag titles on Raw?
They must have. I thought they had a pay-per-view. And like No Mercy or something. Or no, maybe they fought singles. Is that when Booker fought Taker and Test fought Kane or whatever?
Yeah, Booker T fighting Taker was god-awful. So let's count that against the team. Yeah, Booker T fought Taker at No Mercy.
Okay.
Damn it. Why did I remember Young Stallions?
Loser. All right. To me, top 50 on this next one, that's the Brainbusters.
Yeah.
Okay.
But I don't know how high.
No, I agree.
Yeah, top 50, but probably towards the back end of that top 50 or middle. I think.
No, I think that sounds right. I mean, the stuff they have is real high quality. They just don't have a ton of it.
Yeah, that's just it.
But, I mean, the Strike Force match is great. They got the Rocker stuff. They got the Demolition title change. You know, they're real fun at Survivor Series 88.
Yeah.
And I'm curious to see...
That little dance that Tully Blanchard does inside of the ring is fucking perfect.
And I'll be seeing more of them now coming up, so maybe I'll get to some, because we're hitting the fall of 88 in our PTB podcast timeline.
Right. Like, for them, it just depends where they top out match-wise. Like, for me, I think for me they top out at 4 match-wise, which for the era is amazing, right?
Right.
But then...
Yeah, that sounds right. Let me see what I went on at WrestleMania 5. We'll be watching that again soon, too. But the last time I watched 5, Strike Force, I went 3.5.
I think I did, too, actually. Yeah. I love that. I thought that match was really good.
Maybe something with the Rockers, you think?
Pardon me?
What's their 4-star match, you think? Something with the Rockers or
the Hearts.
Oh, right. Fuck. I forgot about that match, too.
Yeah. I have it at 3.5, the Brainbusters Strike Force.
Yeah, I got Hart's Brainbusters at 3.5 as well.
From SummerSlam?
Yeah, but I think if I were... I probably would have been 3.75 again. Scott and
I have it at 4.
I rue the day. Scott and I had never done, like, star ratings, and then we did the stupid Vintage Vault refresh, and then we rebooted the thing, and we started... And for some reason, we didn't just start doing quarters. Maybe I thought he couldn't handle it. That's probably what I'm thinking.
All right.
So let me see what I had their demolition match at. I had that at 2 stars in May. And then 3.5 in July. That's when they win the titles.
Okay.
That's a fun one. That's a lot of good. I mean, that's a lot of the high.
It's good to very good. Yeah.
And I haven't even hit. I mean, I haven't seen some of the Rocker stuff from like MSG and whatnot.
Yeah, maybe they go higher. I mean, I'd have to. So for me, I think for me, for them, I have to go back and look at some of their show stuff.
Right. Yep. So well, I'll let you know what I come across as I go through.
Yeah, and you hit me with that, and then maybe they'll move up or down. I just like – I don't know how I'm going to – I'm probably count this one differently because with the singles guys, I put much less of an emphasis on the house show stuff.
Yeah.
Like it's like if you can't perform big at the biggest level, then – because there's so much of it. But with tag teams, it's a different ballgame because they never get the chance, right? So that stuff's got to count more for me.
I agree. That's why I think TV and house shows count more.
Yeah.
The week-to-week quality. All right, Braun Strowman and Bobby Lashley. That's a no.
That's a big no.
They got nothing. And then, I'm sorry, but Braun Strowman and Nicholas.
Why are you saying you're sorry? Like, it's going to hurt my feelings.
No, not yours. Whoever nominated them. Ridiculous. All right.
Stupidity.
And I was there live for their only match.
So. Allow me to tell you, though, for a 6-year-old child watching it, it was like one of the greatest things he'd ever seen. Like, my son, like, lost his mind.
He went
at it.
Nuts.
Yeah, he's like, the kid's going to get killed. There's a lot of that.
All right. Bret Hart and the British Bulldog.
I'm going to unfortunately probably say no to that one.
So I'm trying to think of what they have.
Isn't it just Owen and Anvil?
They got the flag match.
Oh, against Vader and Pete. Yeah, but that's not that good either.
Yeah,
I just don't think it's there.
And I don't think I thought that highly of that. Let me check real quick what I had that Anvil match at. What was that, late 94?
Yep.
I had it at 3.
I have the flag match at 2.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, that match isn't that great. Yeah. Okay, I'm fine leaving them off. I mean, yeah. I don't know if they might have had something else on Raw, maybe, but I doubt it was.
Maybe, but yeah. Enough to put them over, like...
No.
I don't know if I put them over Awesome Truth, you know?
Okay. All right. Okay, here we go. More Bulldogs. The British Bulldogs. Top 50.
Yeah, obviously. Top 50. Yeah. That's an easy top 50.
Okay. What are you doing with your mic over there? I'm making a lot of scratchy noises.
I didn't think... Is it this? Is that what you're hearing?
Nope. It was like.
What about like honk honk honk?
Diesel?
Is that it?
Is it Diesel?
I was geese.
Oh. That was Diesel entering the ring.
Diesel honk.
And then all right, Bret Hart and Owen Hart.
Bottom 50.
So what do they got? They got the Quebecers Steiners. Match and the Steiners match, which are both great.
But that Steiner's match is so fucking good. And they're another one that might get bumped out.
No, I think they're... For me, they're closer to going to top 50 than getting bumped out.
Really?
Yeah, well, you get the whole stuff in the late 93 with them, you know, passive-aggressive brother shit. And then the Quebecers match is great. And then the Steiner's match is so great. And they must have something in fucking 97. I mean, are we counting? I'd have to revisit the rules. Like, does Stampede count for them? You know what I mean?
It shouldn't, because there's just so much else,
right? It's
right?
A different dynamic, yeah.
Like, I mean, but like, so then do we also not count the Hart Brothers Survivor Series match, which is fucking terrible?
Right.
Like,
yeah.
So, like, I guess if that disqualifies both of them, then maybe, like, yeah, you're right. That Steiner's match is fucking good.
I think they're a lock for the list, to me. It just depends on if you think... It would be, you know, how we're about in there. So we'll put them bottom 50 for now. But to me, they're closer to 50 than they are to 100.
Yeah, maybe. I mean, I have their Rumble match at 3.5. the Steiners match might put them over the top.
Yeah, I mean, that's a match, you know?
Yeah.
All right, let me see what I had Rumble 94 at the last time I watched it.
I don't have the Steiners match rated. I've seen it a bunch, but I haven't watched it from when I started.
I went four on Quebecers Hearts.
Four,
that's not a shock. I mean, I'm like the biggest Quebecers super fan, so.
I love the Quebecers too.
Well, and I was there, so there's a whole like there's other things in play for that one. But I just love the whole angle and the atmosphere after the match and all that.
Great story, yeah.
So
kicked his leg up under his leg. It was perfect.
All right, now we go from one extreme to the other with the Brothers of Destruction.
I mean, we talked about them. I think if they make it, it's clearly bottom 50.
Right.
I don't know. Put them fringe, I guess, for now.
Oh, okay.
Like, just their bad is so bad.
I know.
Like, I had them kind of, like, between 70 and 80, but, like, their bad is fucking terrible.
Yeah. All right, we'll put them fringe. I think that might sneak in. Like,
yeah.
Because they do have some stuff. And like we talked about, they got the shit in, like, 09 or 08. You know, all the times they pop up on SmackDown. It was, like, a super team.
Sure.
All right. And it looks like, are they teaming again? Maybe we'll see if that adds to the resume.
It won't, but go on.
All right, I think this team only. I hate to not say this is a researcher. I think it's probably a no. I remember this being one of the ones that there was like no footage of, where it's like one match, Bruiser Brody and Stan Hansen.
Research, obviously. Probably no.
Yeah, like, I'll put him as research, but I think that was the one like they couldn't find a match of them. It's like just listed that they teamed together. So I mean, I need more.
Just put it in research so the kayfabe memory guys can not scream at us.
All right, Bruno and Bobo is another one for research, right?
Research.
I'm assuming they'll make it because Bruno is awesome.
Yeah, but Bobo, you know.
Yeah. All right, here's another one. We're on a run of researches: Brute Bernard and Skull Murphy.
Oh, you know, what's your favorite Brute Bernard and Skull Murphy match?
And then Buddy Rogers and Johnny Berend. They're also going to.
They had that great match with Air Boom.
Only in the PWI Fantasy Warfare. All right, Bull Buchanan and the Good Father.
And no.
Champions.
I don't care.
Good Father was an all-time name, though. That was a brilliant play.
Awesome pun.
Yeah, it was real good. It was like one that you joke about them doing, but you're like, oh, they would never do that. It's smart. And then they did it, and it's like, oh, wow.
Wow.
They did it. They were smart. All right, here's an interesting one. Curious your take on this team. I don't think we've talked about them at all, especially for a team that has as much length in the company as they have, and that is the Bushwhackers.
Yeah. Well, I think they need to be on the list.
Right.
I don't think, probably. Like, I remember when there was like when they went into the Hall of Fame, there was this argument, like of like, mm-hmm. oh, they have
oh,
nothing.
God,
but,
yes.
Like, but it's like, but there's, they were so over for so long.
Yeah. We don't need to relive that argument. That was the infamous main event episode.
Oh, was it?
Yes, that was the Will and Aubrey.
Oh yeah.
Fiasco.
That's right. Ben needing to apologize to everyone.
That was the crux of the argument, was the Bushwhackers.
Oh, yeah.
So, anyway, I do believe they belong in the bottom 50, but I do also think there's a chance they could get nudged out because they just don't have any matches at all. I mean, their best match may be Survivor Series 89.
I don't think they have any, like, great matches. They have a lot of bad matches, but I think a lot of their matches are just kind of neutral.
Right, yeah.
Which I think will help them.
The Russo, like, matches are okay.
Yeah, when he grabs his dick.
Yeah, obviously.
What the hell is happening? What is happening there?
It had to be a rib, right?
Yeah, because he rubbed it up and down.
Right, it's like, and then he just screams and throws him.
Who got screamed at? The Bushwhacker, the Russo, or Kevin Dunn?
Sick fuck. I love it. All right. Cactus Jack and I can't go whole hog on the Vince voice. I've done enough for 1 week. Cactus Jack and Chainsaw Charlie. I want to say fringe.
Yeah, maybe back end.
Because I mean, they got the dumpster match, and they got the cage the next night. They got the dumpster angle on Raw. They don't really see much else beyond that, right?
No. Yeah, it's probably Fringe.
Okay.
Well, I had them higher on my fucking first run, but yeah, talking about it now, it's Fringe.
Yeah, I mean, they really just, they kind of have the Hart brothers, right? Like a poor man's Hart brothers comparison. They get the two matches, one title match, and pay-per-view.
They don't have, like, even the dumpster match is not that good. Like, it's fine, but.
Right, well, that's my point. They're like the poor man's Bret and Owen. Like, they have the same template, I'm saying. They get the pay-per-view match, they get the other match. And then, that's about it. And an angle. All right, Cade and Jindrak. I'm guessing no on them.
No. And it's sad. Like, because on they seemed so cool coming out of WCW.
Right. Well, then, Cade didn't. That's Jindrak and O'Hare you're thinking of. They're still to come. This is Cade and Jindrak.
Oh, the other. Fuck that.
So they were the team that everyone thought were going to be part of, like, Evolution, remember? All that stuff?
Yeah, yeah.
God, why did I
pick them up? Yeah, get them off the list.
They were the sterile 03 team with the plain red tights.
Yeah.
All right. Cade and Murdoch. Bottom 50?
Cade and Murdoch. I don't. I'd have them Fringe.
Oh.
I don't. Are there any good matches or great matches?
Fuck. They have one, at least one in 08 with World's Greatest, maybe? And then they have some with the Hardys, I think, in that stretch, too.
Yeah.
Seven.
None of it's on pay-per-view, though. It's on TV, right?
No. They have one pay-per-view. I feel like the World's Greatest, maybe, is on pay-per-view.
In 08?
Or 07, maybe?
I'll check 08. I haven't done 07 yet. But yeah, I can't remember ever seeing anything good from them. And I remember thinking I remember thinking the idea of them as a team was really cool. Like, I liked them as a team, the idea of them, but then it just never seemed to pan out for anything.
Right. Yeah, I mean, it was a dark time in the tag division.
Yeah.
Hot times in the tag division.
So you put them in, we'll put them on Fringe.
Yeah, I'll put them on Fringe. I'm trying to think of what, like, a mid-07 pay-per-view would have been the name of one. I'm just trying to go through, like, pro wrestling history quick to see.
There's a Great American Bash, I'm sure.
You know what? Let me just go to Scott Criscola's Wikipedia.
They could have been on that. There was One Night Stand. I don't think One Night Stand was no longer ECW in 07, right? It was the first year without it, right?
Right. So they teamed in 05, then they split, then they go back together in 06.
Mm-hmm.
07 was where they the tag team battle royal.
Nothing good in 06 with them as a team.
They did have a few with London and Kendrick.
I buy that those were good. Solely for London and Kendrick, though.
Fuck, who am I thinking of then? I thought they. Yeah, I mean, it's not in their wiki. I thought they fought World's Greatest on a pay per view in there, but maybe not.
It's possible. Well, we can go and find it, but.
All right, I'll put them Fringe, but yeah. If that match didn't exist and I made it up, then I'm less likely to have them. Can-Am Connection.
I'd have to delve into the house show stuff.
Well, I can tell you right now.
Yeah, like, I mean, tell me, because, like, I love the idea of them as a team. I like the match at WrestleMania 3 a lot, but I'd have to delve more. So where do you have them?
Well, let me see what I got as their grades on these house show matches. All right, January 87 is the Dream Team, 3 stars. WrestleMania 3, 2 stars. Sheik and Volkov, Science Main Event, 1 star. Shadows, 1.5 stars. And then that's it. Then Zenk leaves. I'd put them Fringe.
Yeah.
Because I do think, like, they were a good team, they had a good look. I think they would have been just fine in the Strike Force role. You know what I mean? Not that you
sure.
can give them credit for that, but.
No, but Tito's probably a better partner than Zenk.
He is, but I think as a team, I'm not sure how much drop-off there would have been the way they worked together.
Yeah.
And I love Tito. All right.
Tito was so good at drawing that sympathy.
No,
we'll
he
talk
was.
About him.
But he actually took away from, like, the pretty boy thing. He's just not a pretty boy. You know what I mean? Like Zenk actually fit what they were going for. And Tito
right.
was just kind of like, it was like Martel brought in, like, his weird, his girlfriend or his, like, his girlfriend's brother or his sister's husband to be on the team. You know, like,
right.
like it's just like this kind of weird guy he brings in. He's not really a heartthrob, but he thinks he is. I don't know. It's like,
well, do you feel that maybe the reason you think that is because of your bigotry?
I mean, it's definitely possible.
Okay, possible. Okay, good.
I'm like Uncle Nino on Jersey Shore, where he just goes and hangs out with the Guidos.
Who's next?
Carlito and Chris Masters.
I think bottom 50 for me.
Yeah. Oh, I'm excited. I thought you were going to say no. I like them.
No, I like them a lot, and I like their breakup too, and yeah. I like the match they have after the breakup.
Yeah,
and
that was a sneaky good one.
Yeah, like and I like the dynamic of the team. I love that it was like the two young guys. Mm-hmm. Like,
oh, they're fun in the chamber too.
Yeah, oh, they're great in that. And I think Carlito, if I were to redo the GWE, I think Carlito's someone I might give a lot more attention to.
Yeah.
No, he was really good.
He had a lot of good stuff in there. And they kind of like the little fun, like, Pinky and the Brain dynamic.
Yeah.
You know, so it was good stuff. No, I like them. Okay. And even their Mania match with Shawn Kane's not bad.
I thought it was good. I also think that this team actually helped Masters a lot, too.
Oh, yeah.
Because, like, he kind of went through that period where, like, he was the master lock, but then it went away.
Right.
And I think putting him in a tag team for a while helped him kind of hone everything.
Yep. I agree. All right. This is a team that I wish we have more of, but it seems like they're already done as a team. And that is Chad Gable and Shelton Benjamin.
I mean, for me, it's probably a fringe to no.
I think it's a no. I mean, I just don't think they're enough.
Yeah.
They're done already, it seems like, so.
Yeah, throw them in no. Look, for me, I err on fringe when I haven't seen a lot of the TV.
I mean, I don't know how much TV they even had, I guess.
Right. I just love Chad Gable, and I like Shelton Benjamin a lot, right?
He's good. I think Gable and Roode may have some potential.
I don't know. I don't like Bobby Roode, like, at all, as a worker.
Yeah, but he might be good in this role.
Maybe.
Is it heavy for Gable?
Has there, I mean, this is a bit of a sidebar. Has there ever been a guy that's been more helped by entrance music than Bobby Roode?
Triple H. And Scott loves them both.
Yeah. I think we've found the crux of what Scott likes. What do the Lakers take the court to?
Right. I'm surprised they don't like the Bulls.
What did they take the court to?
Fucking serious there. Alan Parsons.
Boom, 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 boom.
All right, the Chick Busters.
That's AJ and Caitlin, right?
Right, and I'm going to put them as fringe to more research. Your choice. But Stacey spoke really highly of them in the article she did on them, right?
Yeah.
Or I don't think she's done one on them, but she mentioned them a lot in one.
Put them in research.
Got something on Caitlin, maybe.
Put them in research.
Okay.
Yeah.
I've edited them all. You think I'd remember exactly what it was, but all right. Chief J Strongbow and Peter Maivia. I'm going to say no just based on who's involved.
Yeah, it's going to suck. It's going to be bad.
Sorry.
Sorry, Chief. No, wait, dice. Which one? Wait, okay. So it's Chief J Strongbow and High. So would Chief J Strongbow answer to the High Chief, Peter Maivia?
Yes.
I guess, right?
He's the High Chief.
He better not have looked fucking crooked at High Chief.
All right, so we got decisions to make because we've hit C, H, R, I, S, and that brings us to Chris Benoit. He's on here now with three teams coming up in the immediate list. So we got to decide and talk it out. So I left Benoit off my list of singles.
Yeah.
I left him and Snuka. I drew the line at murder.
Yeah.
I feel bad punishing like an Angle or a Jericho.
Yeah.
Because there's some great matches. But I feel a little hypocritical if I include them.
I don't know. I don't feel as bad because there's another person involved.
Right.
And the matches were much less about him.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
Because then, like, do you discount the matches he was in then, too? Like,
no, you're right. You're right. So, like, did I, you know, take it out on Shawn Michaels and Triple H for WrestleMania 10? No, I still counted that for them.
Yeah. Yeah, I tend to be a little easier on this with him.
Yeah. All right. I mean, I think opinions can evolve. So
yeah,
I'm okay leaving
him. That might change. But that also might change. You might look, I'll be honest, like when it came to cutting Benoit and Snuka, I'm never a big Benoit guy to begin with.
Mm-hmm.
Like I think I might have on my original GWB, I might have been in the 40s,
right,
which I'm sure to some would be blasphemous. But then when I was like trying to fit guys in, I really wanted to fit in. It was like, you know what? Let's just cut them.
right.
Like it became an easy cut, and like there were moral reasons for it too. But yeah, I didn't feel bad about it.
Okay.
So yeah, let's keep them for now, and then If we want to cut him later, we will.
Okay. So, all right. So let's go Benoit Kurt.
Probably top 50.
Right. They have to be. I mean, they had the, possibly one of the greatest match ever.
Well, to that point, it was.
Mm-hmm. Correct. And for a long time. I mean, I don't think that you could say that fell until, what, 3 years ago?
Yeah. 2 years ago.
Whatever that. Yeah. Whenever the revival matches were.
Yeah. Yeah. I would say. And then maybe you probably have some competition this year, too.
Right.
But yeah. Yeah. So. Okay. Top 50.
All right, Benoit and Ryan, now I'm finally leaving off.
Yeah, I don't care about them.
Yeah, I don't think they had much going on. And then we have, take a break from him for a minute, we got Chris Jericho and AJ Styles.
I wouldn't have them on.
No, me neither. They didn't really have much together. They had a few matches and they broke up.
Yeah, and they're all on Raw and they're all kind of meaningless. And,
yeah.
And it was all just clearly leading to this.
Right, to their feud. All right, Jericho and Christian. They're top 50 for me.
Top 50?
I know, you hate Christian, but...
No, it's not that. Like,
they really carried it. Like, that late 02 was, like, all them, right? All the ass cream and the stuff with the friggin' Booker and Goldust. Like, I mean, if you love Booker and Goldust and you rate them...
But I don't
Their whole
love
feud
Booker
was Jericho-Christian.
I don't love them, though. Booker and Goldust will make my list. Like, here, look. Like, I probably have Booker and Goldust probably, like... between 70 and 80.
Okay, so then, to me, their whole feud is Jericho-Christian, and Jericho-Christian have a bunch of other stuff.
Yeah, but Booker and Goldust, to me, seem so much more interesting and entertaining.
Jericho-Christian also have the Trish Lita match, which is like a sneaky,
entertaining
match.
That's pretty good. I'd say bottom 50. I won't fight you two. Like, put him in the top 50 for now, anyone, but I'd put him more...
I'm fine saying they're probably, like, in the 45 range. You know what I mean? Like, but I'll leave him top for now, and then we'll see.
Yeah.
All right, Jericho and Benoit.
Probably... probably...
top. I think of the TLC win.
Yeah, top... And they have that match...
Triple H, Austin. And then I'm sure they got other stuff.
I don't think I could wrote... I don't think I could rank Jericho Christian ahead of Jericho Benoit.
No, I'm fine with that.
But then Jericho Benoit might get, for me, get pushed back to like after 50.
Right. Okay. Then we'll both go. That's fine.
Yeah.
All right. Christian and Lance Storm.
I don't enjoy them at all.
I'd put them as fringe.
Yeah. I'd put them as off the list. So let's go with your generosity.
And then Christian and Tomko.
Fringe, I guess. I'd have them on no.
I'm fine with a no for them.
Okay, good.
Can't imagine they have enough. All right. Punk and Daniel Bryan.
No. Not enough.
What do they have? They got the...
The Shield, right? Is that the only one they have?
And didn't they fight the Wyatts 2-on-3?
Oh, no. It was the Wyatts. Yeah, they didn't fight the Shield. Yeah. It was the Wyatts. Yeah, so they got that one match, and that wasn't even that great.
Okay.
You were getting, like, unmotivated Punk by that point anyway.
Right. Yeah, he was about cashed out. Punk and Kofi Kingston.
Maybe Fringe? Like, they had a tag run. They were a team for a number of weeks.
Yeah, I'm fine with Fringe. I'd probably need to revisit what they got going on.
Yeah.
All right, Cody and Drew McIntyre. Probably a no, right?
Yeah,
well, I don't know.
They were champs, weren't they?
I'll put them fringe. I think whatever. They could be discussed.
Drew, like, even his early stuff, like, he's got, at first he's not great, but before, the year before the 3MB stuff, he was getting pretty good.
Mm-hmm.
So, and Cody, I'm always a little bit high on, so.
Okay. Let's put him there. Cody and Holly.
No.
Okay, I agree.
Do they have more than just the one match?
Yeah, they were champs.
Oh, that's right, but not for long, because then Cody just turns on him outright.
No, I think they're together for a little bit. Like, I don't think it's that brief. I think it's, like, months that they're together, and then he turns on him when DiBiase comes in.
Right.
Let me see quick if Wiki has how long they teamed. Holly was drafted back to SmackDown June 17th, 07. He defeated Cody on September 24th, then they did the Respect feud. He saved him on October 22nd. And then they defended titles against Kaden Murdoch, against Carlito. So not June. So
I
they're
hope
together
I
from
have...
October to June.
Okay. I hope I never – no, June to October, you mean?
No. October 2007 to June 2008.
Wow, that's longer, way longer than I thought.
Yeah.
I still don't want to put them on the list.
No, I'm fine with that.
Okay,
yeah,
good.
They lose at Night of Champions. That's when DiBiase does the handicap match. And
yeah.
All right. Here's a good one. Colossal Connection.
Oof. I believe they're, for me, they're probably bottom 50.
Yeah, I can fuck with that.
Yeah. Can't good conscience put them higher.
No, but they got to be on there. Just, I mean, for six alone.
Yeah. And they're such a – like, I remember being scared of them as a team.
Yeah, I would agree with that. I haven't seen the Superstars match in a long time where they win the titles.
I'm sure it's fine.
Yeah.
Like, I'm sure it's not great, but I'm sure it's fine.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know if it's even fine, but we'll see.
Well, I mean, like, the WrestleMania 6 match is not
right.
The match itself is not good.
It's a poor man's Hogan Andre, where if you take it out of that atmosphere, it's like dog shit. But in that atmosphere, it's amazing.
Yeah. And two more years broken down Andre, too.
Right.
So even a little harder to watch.
Okay. Crime Time.
No.
Oh, okay.
No.
Yeah. I mean, they're a very memorable gimmick. But, I mean, they just don't really have much at all, match-wise.
That, I can't imagine that age as well, either.
No, probably not. And, you know, I think they were actually sneaky bad in the ring.
I always thought they were terrible.
Yeah.
I never liked them in the ring. Like, Shad is awful.
Right.
And I don't like people that wrestle in jeans, for the most part.
No, me
except
neither.
Except the smoking guns. Smoking
looks,
guns I can live with.
It looks uncomfortable.
Yeah, right?
I'm just not a jeans guy. All right. David Otunga and Michael McGillicuddy.
No. God, no. Oh, God. What a stupid name, Otunga. He had the worst music ever. When you're standing next to me. Like, go all African or all rap. But please, the mix didn't work for me.
I'll tell you, I am in a nice zone of having wiped most of, like, 09 to 13 out of my mind. It's a nice place to live.
You know what the sad part is, though? Is that, like, 11 is, like, a sneaky good pay-per-view year.
Right.
Like, you're going to like watching it when you rewatch it. Because, like, every show's got something great on it, almost.
Yeah. It's 10 to 11 is the real dog shit year, right?
Yes.
Yes. All right. Speaking of great songs, this team had an awesome one, and that's Dean Ho and Tony Garea.
Garea.
Gonorrhea. Got it from Dean Ho.
Dean Ho. Is he related to the singer-songwriter Don Ho?
No, but he is related to someone on our next team, and that is the Godfather and D'Lo Brown. I'm putting Dean and Tony on the research list.
Yeah, and can you put Godfather and D'Lo on the no list?
Yep.
Oh, when D'Lo became like a pimp in training?
Yes.
Good
they,
Lord.
They were the other half of that awful Mania match, right?
Yes.
Buchanan and Boss Man. D'Lo and Mark Henry. Well, Mark Herney, as some call him.
Herney. I'd...
Now remember, it's Mark Henry, so we got to be extra considerate.
Look. D'Lo is shit. I'd probably have him no.
I'm not going to put him fringe. I think they had some good character stuff with the
weight
loss.
You're just scared of the backlash. That's a problem, right?
We call racist way too many times.
You know? Well, I already called you a bigot once.
All right. Demolition, Axe, and Smash.
Top 50.
All right. And then Demolition, Smash and Crush.
No.
Yeah. Sad. I don't know where we're counting their three-way work. I guess both teams get that credit.
I guess, but none of it's that great. So, right. Like, I mean,
someone said 90 is, but
I find that match kind of overrated.
Yeah, but it's still great.
It's. I don't know if it's great. I wouldn't say it's great. I'd go good. Yeah, good.
Let me see. What
who was it that liked? There was someone who was like fucking thumping the SummerSlam 88 match. as like one of the greatest tag matches.
It was Stephen Graham. I went 3.5 at SummerSlam 90, but I did just watch SummerSlam 88 like weeks ago.
And
I had that. I liked it a lot, actually. I had it at 3.
Yeah. I had the Hearts, the 91 at 3.25.
Mm-hmm.
So I liked it, but going in, I was expecting it to be like almost 4 kind of
right,
thing.
Right, right. All right, Deuce and Domino.
No.
Speaking of great themes, they're kind of the new age Beverly Brothers. Great theme, but nothing else going on.
They should have used Earth Angel from Back to the Future.
True. Yeah, but the one they had is so good. That's
Snuka's kid, right?
Yes, him.
Do we take him off the list for Jimmy Snuka's murder? Is that why we're excluding?
I wish he did the murder instead, so we could just take him off. All right. DDP and Canyon.
Ooh, sadly, no.
Yeah, they got fucked.
I love them. I love Canyon so much.
Mm-hmm.
If for nothing else, his speech to Hogan, not Hogan, to Austin on Austin Appreciation Night.
Oh, yeah.
For years, the question has always been, who better than Canyon? But now we know. It's you, Stone Cold. It's you.
It's a special world of delusion.
Yeah. Who better than Canyon? That's the best music ever.
Yeah.
Starts with that.
All right, Dick Murdoch and Adrian Adonis.
I need to research them.
Okay, I can tell you that they're going to make the list. I'm going to put them bottom.
Yeah, I know they're good. I just haven't seen enough.
I'm going to put them bottom with the caveat that I think they'd probably get to the top. But I'm only putting them bottom because you got to watch more.
Okay.
Dolph Ziggler and Big E Langston.
Do you call him Ziegler?
No, Scott used to on the podcast when we used to.
Yeah, and that's why you do it, right?
Yeah.
I wouldn't have them on the list.
No, it's too bad too.
Sorry for Ziegler and Langston.
The highlight of their run is when Big E chopped AJ by accident.
Yes, that was great.
Dolph Ziegler and Jack Swagger.
A better team. I'd still probably say no, though.
Okay, I'm down with that.
Although they have some good stuff in 11. They're mm-hmm. they're okay. Like, but you know what? Maybe
fringe?
Put them fringe.
Okay.
Yeah. Like, now that I think about their 11 run, like, all their matches are pretty good. Because both those guys are good. Like, so it makes sense. And their dynamic is interesting. They got Vicky as the manager, too.
Yep.
My boyfriend! What grown woman says boyfriend?
Vicky Guerrero.
Like that.
All right. Dudley Boys.
Bottom 50, obviously. top.
Dusty and Dustin Rhodes. I'm going no on that one.
They're beating your son!
And their awful match where they get jobbed out. All right. Here's a good one. Dusty and Sapphire.
No. Look, if this were best dance duos,
yes,
they'd be topping the list.
All right. Earthquake and Dino Bravo.
Mm.
The mess of Earthquake.
My heart says yes, but my head says no.
Yeah, I don't see them making it. But they do have a couple of fun things here and there.
Sure. Yeah. And like, that's an awesome dynamic.
Right.
Like him jumping in the ring and Bravo running around in a circle. It's just such stupidity.
God, the worst part about that team is that it gave Bravo like an extra 2 years of being around because Quake saved him.
Yeah,
I went 2 stars on their Saturday Night's Main Event match with Hogan and Tugboat.
Did Bravo get main event money for SummerSlam 90? Being the second?
Oh, I'm sure.
Crazy, right?
Eddie Guerrero and Rey Mysterio.
Probably no.
No.
I don't think. I mean, what's their best stuff?
Eminem.
Yeah, it's pretty good. It's pretty good. What do you think? Fringe?
Bottom 50? Fringe. I think out of a respect vote and like there may be stuff we're not thinking of, you know what I mean? Like I'm a heart because to me, the no list, we're not talking about those teams ever again.
So wait, are you giving him the respect vote because Eddie's dead?
No, because of how great they are.
Because Dino Bravo's dead.
Yeah, he gets no respect.
Look,
me, like... like we're blotting out this no list. Like after tonight, right, or after we finish going through this, we are not doing no again.
Okay,
anyone on this list. So like I think they're worth maybe talking about a little bit more.
Okay.
Okay. My fear is also that we're not going to have enough teams on those first three columns for 100.
Already have we'll have enough. It'll be fine. There's a lot we're leaving out.
Okay. Eddie Guerrero and Tajiri.
Fringe.
Okay. They do have the great ladder match.
Yeah.
That's about it, though.
Yeah.
All right. Edge and Christian.
Top 50.
All right. Edge and Hulk Hogan.
Fringe, bottom 50. Like,
I think fringe is fair. They only have two matches.
They have that really great. See, I'm just airing because I think you're going to like them. fringe for sure, though.
Okay. Yeah, because they get the match where they win the titles on the 4th of July, which is cool. And then they lose to. Was it Christian and Storm beat them?
Yeah.
All right, Edge and Ray, top.
Top 50, probably. Because any of those teams that are in that
SmackDown 6.
Yeah, they're going to be top 50.
Yeah. All right, Enzo and Cass. I say no. I mean, did they have any good matches?
I'd say bottom 50, probably.
Oh, all right, I'll put them on fringe.
Can you remember a team being as over as them?
No, I guess not. I mean...
And, like, they were legitimately, like, a really top act in NXT. And
The Brothers of Destruction were over.
Pardon me?
So were the Brothers of Destruction. They were over.
Yeah, but Enzo and Cass didn't have bad matches, though. Like, they just weren't great. Like, and their NXT stuff is... Some of the matches are pretty good.
Fringe is good.
Pardon me?
Fringe.
Yeah. I'm fine. But I think if you're going to look into someone, you should look into their NXT stuff to see how over they were and to see how decent their matches were and how, as an act, they were on par with a lot of what was going on in NXT at the time.
Fringe sounds good. All right. So here's a team I know nothing about. Besides, I know they're well-regarded and kind of a famous team. So I'm guessing they're going to make the list, and that's the Fabulous Kangaroos. I don't know how much is even out there for them, like, to research.
Yeah.
I'm willing to stick them bottom 50 based on, like, what they were and then see where we go.
Sure.
Okay.
I mean, I won't put them on a list until I research them, right. But yeah.
I'm guessing they'll probably end up somewhere in there. Yeah. All right. The Fabulous Rougeau Brothers.
I think bottom 50.
Yeah, I agree. They're lacking that marquee.
But they're so good.
They are. No, they're like, excellent. But they're just missing that one marquee thing to put them over.
Yeah, and they're like consistently solid and great as faces, great, even better as heels. Mm-hmm. Like, yeah, awesome team.
All right, Doug Furness and Phil LaFon.
Probably no.
Yeah, I mean, they got the Bulldog and Owen at Final Four. Survivor Series 96 is good. They're good there.
Yeah, but I don't even know if I don't even know if that match is held up that well.
Yeah, I mean, they don't have much else, so
no.
I'm fine with them.
And it's sad because that's a team that should be. Like, I remember when they came in, I was so excited. Yeah, see, I got the Survivor Series match at 3. So, yeah, they should have been really cool. They had that look. I thought, like, kind of like Steiner's Light.
Right. What did you have Final Four at?
I'll have to bring it up. But just a team that I wanted more from. Final Four I have at... This is awesome radio.
I mean, they may have...
I'm at three.
And they may have gotten more, and then they had the car accident or whatever, because they're starting to do the heel turn. And maybe I was going somewhere if they were going to maybe be lightly aligned with Brett. You know, like they were kind of teasing some stuff.
Yeah.
And then the car accident, I think, fucked them up. All right. Glamorella.
So I think I might have them bottom 50.
Yeah, Glamorella. I'm with you.
Like, I just think they were such a great act.
Mm-hmm.
And
they were super over, too.
Yeah. And that match at SummerSlam 08 is a lot of fun.
Right.
It's like Santino on Beth Phoenix's shoulders. And
let me see what I had that at when we did that for the SummerSlam project.
The SummerSlam!
Because that was pretty recent. We watched that, right? A few weeks ago.
Yeah.
Yeah, 2.5.
I have it at 2.75.
Okay.
But yeah, I thought it was a fun match, and them as a couple always. Mm-hmm. But he was great with anybody as a couple.
All right, here's another good one: the Glamour Girls. Bottom 50 for me.
You have them bottom 50?
Yeah, they get the Jump and Bomb Angel matches, and then there's been a couple other ones I've seen. I mean, Judy's awesome, and Leilani's solid.
I'd have them fringe, but I'll allow it.
I mean, I think just for the. I mean, I got. So, Jumping Bombs and Glamour Girls at MSG in November, I have at 4 stars.
I got to watch it.
Yeah.
I'll watch it.
That's a must watch for you. I mean, that's a 4-star fucking house show match in 87. And
right.
Then I had Rumble 88 at 3 stars. And then the Survivor Series match.
What is.
I had at 3 stars.
What's the MSG? It's what month?
November 87.
Okay.
That's a must watch. That's a great. And then you should watch Savage Honky on that show, too.
Oh, yeah, I will.
That's the main event. Oh, no.
Main event?
That's the mid-show main event.
Okay.
Strikeforce Heart Foundation is also on that show.
I think I might have the women's match at Survivor Series at 3.5. Yeah. I have to rewatch it.
Yeah, I mean, if you like this MSG one, I think you'll see that they're probably like maybe like in the 90s. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
but
okay.
You should watch the whole show, actually, because Kelly and I and Scott all had that at 4. Scott's got Savage Honky 3.5. Then Strikeforce Heart Foundation, Kelly had a 3.5. He loves that match.
Oh, I love me some Strikeforce.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, you should watch that whole card. That's a good one.
All right.
Golden Truth.
No.
The Golden Truth for them is that they're not making this list.
They're not making the list.
Yeah,
right,
I mean,
Golden
fun
Shower.
Fun enough, but just not enough.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. All right, here you go, Goldust and Booker.
I have them bottom 50.
Yeah, I think that's fair.
No good. No really great matches.
Just an iconic moment, though. A great moment.
Oh, that yeah. Men on Film stuff is so good.
Well, and also about when they win the titles, yeah.
Oh, yeah, that too.
Yeah. All right, Goldust and Cody Rhodes. It's tough because you have to factor in all of the Stardust shit, too.
Yeah.
But how high do you bump them based on the Shield match and feud? Because there's some real good
stuff.
That's
one of my favorite matches of the last like 10 years.
I think bottom 50 is okay. I think I think they're hurt by the other stuff. Like if they only had that Battleground match and then a little bit of more with the Shield, like I think you're talking top. But
yeah,
all the Goldust Stardust stuff was just not good.
But Goldust is the best offensive wrestler that's ever been.
That's true. Mm-hmm. All right, I think they're right around 50-ish, you know.
Yeah, that's right. Like, and you never know; they might move up. Like, yeah, it'll be around there.
Okay. Gorilla Monsoon and Professor Tanaka.
Tanaka.
Research.
That's the same Tanaka in the Orient Express, right?
Oh yeah. Definitely
good.
Not. Okay. All right, Gotch and Goulet. No idea.
Rene Goulet?
I think so, yeah.
Or Michel Goulet, the hockey player.
All of them. They used to rotate in. They did a mask gimmick. Twin
Goulet.
Magic. They did a twin magic gimmick.
Oh, those are some ugly twins.
All right, here's an interesting one, because they're known more for their WCW stuff, but that's Haku and Barbarian.
I don't know what their catalog is. Like,
I'm gonna put
I love WrestleMania 7. I think that match is awesome.
I don't know how much more they have beyond that as a team.
Yeah, so it's probably no, sadly.
I'm putting them fringe.
Yeah, put them fringe. All right, we can see if they have more.
I think they have an MSG match with it's like a... Or no, is that Powers of Pain? There's some weird MSG match. I thought it was them against, like, Warlord. It's like a Fuji team and a Bobby team. And I thought it was Haku and Barbarian. At like MSG in 91. Let me see if
Who would have been the Fuji team? It would have been the Orient Express then, right?
Yeah, but it wasn't them. So I'm thinking I might be misremembering the year, and it might be
Powers of Pain against like the Brainbusters.
No, it wasn't that either. Oh, fuck. Battleground Baltimore. All right, so nine.
Unfortunate timing.
Brett Barbarian is in June. Here, oh, Hakuma Barbarian defeated Fuji and Kato.
Oh, that could, I wonder. Well, you never know. Fuji with his cheating.
That was July 91.
Nah, probably not enough to get them on the list. But keep in fringe. We'll see.
Yeah. Okay. Hakuma Rikishi. That's a no. Sadly.
No, it's too bad.
I know. It had so much potential.
All the potential in the world. Like
Hakuma in that hair.
Yeah, Rikishi in that ass.
All right, here's a couple of top tier. We got the Hardy Boys and the Hart Foundation.
They're both top 50, clearly.
Yep. All right.
But you put them in bottom 50, just so you know.
Oh, that's because my thing scrolled over.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I mean, would you consider Hart Foundation for number one?
No, I think we talked about this when we did the Hardys, right? So, I mean, they're probably my top 10, but...
Yeah, they're like either top 10 or like 12. And Hardys are definitely contention. Are Hardys the first team we've talked about tonight that are contention for number one? Probably, eh?
Yeah, we haven't gotten to the Usos, the New Day, or the Rockers yet. Yeah. All right, Hawkins and Ryder.
No.
What are they? The Gatecrashers, or the fuck is that them? Oh, no, that's the other guy, Hoyt.
Are they the Major Brothers? Is that them?
Oh, yeah, the Majors, yeah.
Yeah.
Major dude, I'll tell you. All right.
The two douches attitudes.
Head cheese.
No. God, no.
It's sad. Why? Well, their teamwork ended up being nothing, but they have some really... So, when I was in college, we would do comps of, like, Raw and SmackDown. We would just basically have a tape in, and then anything good coming, we would just hit record. So, I have, like, tape somewhere of just, like, late 99 into mid-2000, just all the best stuff of Raw and SmackDown. And the head cheese skits, when they got together... were real funny when they went on the date and Snow's trying to get Blackman to show his personality and like remember they're doing all this stuff and then they end up doing a like they're kind of known for their skits and then at WrestleMania they do the stupid thing with the fucking midget cheese and like that was the end of it, but they had some funny stuff early in that year when they were just becoming a team,
right?
Anyway,
they're like the poor man's Booker T and Goldust.
Sure. High energy.
No. Ah, energy.
The head shrinkers match is fun, but not much else. Sadly, they had the Money Inc. tag title match, but I don't think that was anything.
They have the high energy promo. Who does better? Ha! Is it Coco and high energy, or Matt Hardy and ha?
Oh, definitely Coco.
Yeah, probably.
Anything voice related, Coco wins.
Yep.
Hulk Hogan and Mr. T. Bottom 50?
Yeah. Like, when we get into the segment of, like, one-off teams or two-off teams, they're going to vie for the top spot in that, I think.
Right. All right. Hulk Hogan and Shawn Michaels.
Shawn Michaels? It's probably
the boy toy.
I don't care if you're Psycho Sid or Pete Lothario. probably no.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, they only got the one match, right?
Yeah, and then but great moment where he kicks him in the face and then stares at him as though he's fucking a zombie.
Hogan always has the big July 4th tags, right? Was that July 4th too? I feel like it was.
Yeah, that makes sense because it would lead into SummerSlam.
Who was it against? Flair and Angle?
I don't even remember.
I think so. All right, Hogan and Warrior.
No.
What matches do they have? They have the Perfect and Genius, is that it? Oh, and then the SummerSlam.
Yeah, the Triangle of Terror.
Yeah, and then I guess Survivor Series, technically. They basically wrestled that whole match.
With Tito.
Again, awkwardly jammed in.
Yeah. That wasn't what they were going for there either.
No, definitely not. He never fits in, Tito. All right, Hurricane and Rosie.
No.
That's a strong no right off the bat.
Shit, it's shit. It's literal shit.
Yeah. Okay. J&J Security.
Top 50.
They did take some good beatings.
Yeah, they were great at taking beatings, but no, absolutely not.
Okay. Jericho.
Jericho.
I'm going to put
no,
him...
No, That's Jericho and Orton?
No, Jericho and Owens.
Oh. Oh. Oh.
They're in contention somewhere.
Fringe, maybe, yeah. Like,
yeah.
Yeah.
Well, they got the end zone cast match at SummerSlam, right?
Yep.
They're teamed for a while. Yeah, and then you count the breakup. I mean, the breakup was epic.
Yeah, okay. Fringe.
Okay.
Fringe is good.
How about Jericho?
Yeah. Bottom I think 50. Bottom 50, probably.
Is that like the most unlikely good team ever? Like, yeah. When they replaced Edge with Show, it's kind of like, and then ended up being like great.
Yeah, I love them. I love how Big Show used to wear the belts.
Yes. Yeah.
Like, clipped together like a scarf.
Jesse and Festus.
No.
Biscuits and Booty.
Also did not age well, I'm sure.
All right. Here we go. A couple of Jim Duggan winners. Jim Duggan and Nikolai Volkov.
Fuck no. Is the next one Slaughter?
Sure is.
You know where to put it. Slaughter looks like the biggest fucking loser in the world. Next to Duggan jumping around being super happy.
Yeah, well, they have that great match at SummerSlam 90 against the Orient Express.
Orient Express.
Oh, no, that's Duggan and Nikolai. Sorry, that's what I meant.
That's right.
Yeah. All right, John Cena and Shawn Michaels.
No, I don't think so. It's just so that little period before WrestleMania 23, right?
Yeah, they were champs.
Yeah, but...
All right. Kind of... You ready?
Sorry, is it a bunch of Cena shit?
Johnny Gargano and Tommaso Ciampa.
So, I think it's got to be top 50.
Yeah. Yep. I thought you were going to say more, but yes, I agree.
Well, I think you're probably maybe looking top 10 even. I know we're not going that far yet, but like they're just so good for so long. Mm-hmm. Like, I might even entertain an argument that they might be number one.
Ooh.
I don't think I'd put them, but
right,
they're fucking good.
Spicy. Like, okay, Johnny Rods and Jose Estrada.
Research?
No, that's a no.
Oh, really? I don't know. Oh, Johnny Rods, eh?
Yeah, Kelly will rank them. That'll be about it. All right, the Jumping Bomb Angels. I put them in the bottom 50.
Put them there. I got to research them. Yeah.
All right, Justin Gabriel and Heath Slater.
No. There are champions. Like, that's like the death of the division.
Right.
When they're like, and imagine what that means.
Yeah. How about Gabriel and Kidd?
I don't think so. It's just not enough.
Right. Okay. All right. Kai and Tai.
No, I don't think so.
Choppy, choppy, or pee pee.
God, those oddities matches are just the worst.
All right, here we go. Get ready for your soul to be sucked out like six straight Kane matches. Kane feuds. All right, Kane and Big Show. I feel like Fringe.
Fringe.
Kane and Hurricane.
They have the greatest TSA. Match of all
time. The greatest Raw match ever. I'm putting them on Fringe.
Fringe, yeah.
Kane and Mankind.
Fringe.
This is like the perfect description of Kane ever. Fringe.
Yeah, I know. But sad. We're like sad about it.
Kane and RVD.
See, Fringe. That one I'd say no.
Oh, really?
I'm not as into that.
I'm putting this Fringe. I thought they had some decent stuff in 03.
Yeah.
And then Kane and X-Pac. I'm putting them bottom 50. Top. Oh, top?
You think bottom?
Okay, I can go top.
I think hedging. Top. Yeah, I think top.
Okay.
They're really good in 99.
That's not a bad hit rate for Kane. Four fringes and one top.
Yeah. He's an okay tag wrestler. Yeah. Like, it's the ones where someone else has to carry, like, when he has to carry the match, like with Undertaker. That's right. The problem.
All right. Gallows and Anderson.
I would say no.
I would agree. I mean, I just don't think they have anything, really. Okay. Shamrock and Boss Man.
I love the idea of the team.
Right. Execution, not that good.
No. Yeah, I'd probably say no. Okay. Like, I feel like I've seen enough. Like, I don't need to look at them anymore, right?
No, I agree. I mean, that match is real bad at Rock Bottom.
Yes.
Real bad. All right, Kevin Owens and Sami Zayn.
As a team, I'd probably say no.
Did they? How much did they even team?
It's only recently, and it wasn't even that much.
Oh, right. Yeah. I forget about that. I mean, that was like the most hated thing ever I've seen on social media.
Yeah.
Just get destroyed for the whole thing with Shane and everything. Okay. Kidman and London.
Oh.
Bottom for me.
Yeah, but bottom angling towards the top 50, though, I think.
They were fun, and they had great tights.
Yes.
Which cannot be discounted in this list. All right, the Killer Bees.
Bottom?
Yeah, I agree.
Maybe off the list, but, like, what a cool angle. Like, I mean, as a kid, like, that was the absolute coolest thing that they would that's the original Twin Magic.
Yeah, no, they belong on the list. They're one of the most memorable teams.
And like, when they tried to repeat that with Demolition, with the masks... Mm-hmm. Like, are the refs fucking stupid? Like, they've never seen, like, what Smash and Axe and Crush look like differently next to one another? Just ridiculous.
Especially when Vince is all confused, yeah, at SummerSlam 90. Especially
why
that
is Vince
one.
Confused? You can't tell them apart!
All right, Killer Kowalski and Gorilla Monsoon.
Put it on the fucking research or off, because I'm not... I don't know.
Yeah. All right, research. All right, here's one that's a fun one. I don't remember if we talked about them. I feel like we may have, and that's Kurt Angle and Ronda Rousey.
We did talk about them, and we talked about them kind of bottom 50.
Okay, so bottom 50, not fringe. All right. La Resistance.
No.
Rene Dupree and Sylvain Grenier.
All of any and all.
I'm putting them on fringe. I'm putting them on fringe.
Don't put them on fringe.
I'm putting them on fringe.
Don't.
We're not done with La Resistance. We're not done with them.
Come on. Why? It's not enough. Batista put a fucking flag in their ass. It's enough now. They might be the worst team to ever hold the tag team title for any length of time. Who's worse than them?
All the other champions that we don't have on the list.
Well, I don't have them on my list. You're the insane one putting them.
They're
in.
Better than fucking Slater and Gabriel.
In ring? Not even close.
Whatever. All right, Lance Storm or William Regal?
No, probably not.
Again, another team on paper. That should be cool.
Yeah. Yeah, but Regal just doesn't mesh with anyone.
I know.
Ever.
By the time they won, then Regal got sick or whatever, and then they became Morley and all that shit.
Is that when he had hepatitis?
No, I think it's when he had the nosebleeds.
Oh, okay.
But remember they kept, like, putting off their win, then they finally won, and then Regal got hurt.
Yeah, hepatitis.
All right, Larry Sharp and Jack Evans.
I've never even heard these people's names. Have you heard these names before?
Yeah, Larry Sharp's the Monster Factory guy, right?
Oh, Larry Sharp. I heard Barry Sharp.
No.
Like, who's Barry Sharp?
All right, Lay Cool. I want to say bottom 50. I'm putting bottom 50. The character stuff is real good.
Yeah.
And then the whole Breaking Bad thing has me all aflutter.
You just get so swayed by Stacy.
Well, I think she makes good points in her articles.
She does, but...
I have to rewatch. But I remember liking them at the time. It wasn't just this isn't just a Stacy thing. I really liked them at the time.
I like them as characters, so I'm not opposed to putting them bottom 50.
I'll have to see some of the matches. But the whole Breaking Bad, like... thread was interesting to me because I think that there is a lot to say there. All right, Legacy.
Oh, Rhodes and DiBiase?
Yeah.
I'd say no.
Okay.
Because the matches are just so fucking boring.
I know.
And I love the idea of Legacy as a stable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I just never really got there. Legion of Doom. Top or bottom?
Top. Okay. But top veering towards the bottom.
Yeah. Yeah, they don't have a huge case. I mean, 97 helps them.
They're good in – they're sneaky good in 97.
Yeah, no, they are.
Like, we look at them as kind of – but even the feud with the Godwins is okay.
No, I like that feud.
Yeah.
No, 97 is good to them. They're and they were good stabilizing for that division. Like, they came back right at the beginning of the year when they were trying to figure stuff out, and the division had been a mess in 96, and it's like, no, they're bringing some star power to the division.
And I will say, too, that I think they're a little underrated in 98 with the DOA.
Yeah. Yeah,
I don't think it's good, but it's not horrible.
No. All right, London and Kendrick, top 50.
Yeah. Yeah.
Los Guerreros.
Top 50.
All right, why don't we finish up the L's here, and then we'll wrap up for tonight.
Yeah, okay. You cut something else off Los Guerreros. I don't know what it was. I did. Whatever was under British Bulldogs. No, there you go. You fixed it now. Okay. Yeah, Los Guerreros. Yeah, let's finish the L's. Okay.
Okay. Lowdown.
No.
Did Lowdown with every little
hoedown. They couldn't even get in a Royal Rumble.
Yeah, no, they're bad. All right. Los Conquistadores.
Oh, I
put them fringe.
Yeah, I mean, look, it's a team you might want to put it like 100.
Right, and they had let me just see what I rated it. They fought the Rockers on a MSG that I dug a little bit. Yeah, it went 2.5, September 88. Hmm. And then they're a big part of the Survivor Series match.
Yeah.
By the way, then, Rockers, like, Demolition, October 88, 3 stars.
Wow.
Worth checking
now,
out.
Now, do you give Los Conquistadores credit for the Edge Christian Hardy stuff?
No, I count that as each of those.
Edge, yeah, okay.
The Lucha Dragons.
I'd probably have them bottom 50.
Okay.
Lucha. Stupidest chant ever. But
they make it make the list for that. I was at that Boston pay-per-view when he did the his finisher off the ladder.
That was fucking crazy.
That was insane.
Yeah.
And then the whole show went downhill from there. all right, Luke Graham and Tarzan Tyler.
All right, guys. Thanks for listening.
And our final L, Luke Harper and Eric Rowan.
Bottom 50.
Okay. I can get with that.
I think they make the list easily. Like, I those matches with the Usos are awesome.
Yeah. There's that one on whatever it is, Money in the Bank 13, I think.
Yeah, that's like, great. I want to see more matches with them. It's a shame they got hurt because, like, I think we could have been in for – a nice little run here.
Or maybe it was 14. Maybe it was 14 because they weren't.
Oh, it was 14 when they fought the Usos.
Okay. All right. We're going to stop for tonight. Here's what we got so far. We have 18 teams in the top 50. We have 24 in the bottom. We have 28 on fringe. We have 55 out. And then we have 16 that we want to do some more research on. So I think we're a solid start. We still got a lot to talk through, but I think we can get through most of those probably next time.
Yeah.
All right. This was fun. I had a good time doing this.
Yeah, me too. And I hope it was fun to listen to. Like, let us know.
Yeah.
If it was a goddamn disaster for
you. We're going to stop.
Yeah.
All right. So everyone should be participating. The balloting will be open soon. So be prepared for that. If you're not part of the Facebook group and after hearing this you want to be, let us know. We'll add you. And check out our other episodes, the first six, where we've like dug into some of these teams. We'll probably get into some of them again, but the ones we've already talked about, I don't see us spending much time on. So go back and listen if you haven't, and if you're interested in the project. We've done a lot of talking on this. And then Tyler Kelly at placementnation.com has been doing a lot of written stuff, so you know, you can check that out as backup research as well. Subscribe to our feeds, PlacementNation Pop, PlacementNation Wrestling, and you can get all of our great shows there each and every day. We have good stuff coming out, and written-wise, too. We mentioned the Excellent Adventure earlier. We'll have a new Group Watch Champions piece, I think, next week. So a lot of cool stuff rolling out each and every day, placementnation.com. And, of course, Scott Criscolo and I, Placement Podcast, episode 500, will be out likely on Tuesday. I think there's too many moving parts for me to put it together Monday night. So Tuesday or Wednesday next week, or as of when you're hearing this, that'll drop. So it's a big trivia tournament and some other hijinks mixed in there. Kind of a love letter to all of our history on the show. So be sure, be prepared to check that out. Otherwise, Aaron, anything you want to talk about?
No.
Okay, very good. Placement Nation on Twitter at place2nation, facebook.com/placementnation. That's Aaron, I'm JT. We're out. Dookie time.
Dookie!
If you want to be cool, I'm as cool as me, you'll be careful what you say, how you look at me. If not, you'll pay a price far beyond your means. You don't know.